Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going.
The TV musical sitcom Glee hit the airwaves last year with a great young energy and voices raised in song. Teens, even young kids, ate it up. It wasn't Pollyanna. There's been teen pregnancy, gay love, teachers in love, but also a youthful zest and innocence. And then Glee's two top female stars posed in GQ magazine. Pretty, girlish, and pretty explicit, soft porn, maybe, bordering on pedophilia, say critics. Some are saying, get real. Others are saying, wait a minute. Here we go again, hypersexualizing images of teenage America. This hour On Point, the brouhaha over Glee gone wild. You can join the conversation. Is Glee must-see TV in your home? Do the actors owe your kids anything, or is taking it off their right as professionals? Are we turning our teens into tramps or not? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Gimli, Manitoba in Canada is Kim Morgan, film and culture critic. She writes for MSN Movies, Huffington Post, IFC, Entertainment Weekly, and Garage Magazine. All over her blog is Sunset Gun. Kim, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And with us from Seattle is Pepper Schwartz, professor of sociology at the University of Washington in Seattle, where she teaches courses on the sociology of sexuality. She's the author of dozens of books and academic papers on sexuality. Pepper Schwartz, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
Kim Morgan, first to you. We'll look at the photo spread in GQ. It's pretty eye-popping. But first, just Glee itself. What made it such a big hit last year, and what's its kind of arc of evolution been since it hit Fox News, Fox TV?
People really responded to the musical aspect of the show. And I think the fact that it was really a liberal show that dealt with issues like homosexuality and teen pregnancy and had a kind of, not just the youth quality, but also adults enjoyed it because there were the adult side stories and Jane Lynch is hilarious and it's a nice mixture of song and celebration and humor, and it was just a fun show. People loved it. I mean, people, it kind of brought back musical and then also in a less square way. And so, you didn't feel guilty enjoying it, I think. It was one of the reasons why people liked it so much. And it's mm-hmm. kind of a mixture of being cheeky and also serious and really enjoying the musical acts and all that.
And the audience, as you say, plenty of adults there, lots
of
teens,
adults,
and
yeah.
Right on down into tweens and preteen, from what I can see.
Yeah, people watching it with their families, which is why people are upset by this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the second season has changed a bit, though. I think it's getting a little racier. If we get into the photos, which we haven't really gotten into yet, Let's go straight to it.
Now GQ's November issue is out, and you've got the two female leads from Glee. This is Lea Michele and Diana Agron. Paint a picture for us, Kim, as far as you can go on, PG-rated radio.
Well, I mean, it's a Terry Richardson photo shoot, so right there, I don't know if their agents told them or if they'd seen any Terry Richardson photos. He's done far racier pictures than the ones in GQ. He's sort of known for his hypersexual pictures, and so that right there, anyone that's aware of his photography would know. But it's women, 24 and 28, I believe, the two actresses posed in the high school atmosphere, in high school next to lockers with lollipops and short skirts and Catholic schoolgirl looking kind of, you know, just the whole sort of
short skirts and no skirts. I mean, we got plenty of just plain old undies and bobby socks or knee socks here, and the lollipop at the locker, and the bench in the locker room kind of straddled across. I mean, it's not just fluffy pinup. It's a little some degree beyond. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, they're pushing. Definitely, I think, again, if it's Terry Richardson, he's doing that on purpose. He was shoving it out there. The point was to be so aggressively sexual and in your face, so blatant. That's kind of the joke. But to me, it seems sort of banal. It seems typical. It seems like something I've seen a million times. So it wasn't terribly creative to me. In terms of photography, but
right. Everybody's saying kind of mundane at this point. But Pepper Schwartz, I don't know if it's mundane if you're 13 years old and these are the stars of the show. They may be in their mid 20s, but to a lot of viewers, you know, they're in high school. I mean, they're in high school in the show. Now it's in a men's magazine, which probably is not on everybody's shelf at home. On the other hand, it's all over the internet, which means it's essentially everywhere, Pepper.
Well, exactly. That's right. In another world, the kids wouldn't have picked up a men's magazine like GQ. But in the world of the internet, anything that has any provocative side to it is going to get to the people that want to see that stuff, and they'll figure out a way. And in this case, it really is a kind of ugly in your face that nothing is going to stay at the sweet and simple level. And we are going to take images of much younger children than the actresses are, and use that to be sexually provocative. And it's offensive. It's offensive to even a lot of the guys who read those magazines who enjoy pictures of, you know, sexually scantily clad ladies, but not when they're thinking that this might be their 15-year-old daughter.
Well, we'll look at it from the adult perspective, but what about from the kids' perspective, Pepper? You're the sex sociologist. I mean, you know, a 12 or 13, you name it, year old boy, let's think about, girl, let's think about, and here's, you know, these female stars. There's a guy in here, too, who plays the quarterback in Glee, Corey Monteith, but he's fully clothed. But here
he's
these gals,
bundled up.
Right, he's bundled up. Here are the gals in their undies, you know, all over the high school. It's not new exactly. Nevertheless, you've got, you know, new young kids seeing it in every generation. What does it say to a 13-year-old boy, a 13-year-old girl, when and if they see it?
Well, let's take the girls first. We actually have a lot of research to indicate that these kind of images do shape girls' behaviors and do lower their self-esteem. There was a recent conference in New York City called Spark Movement, which is to try to deal with young girls' failing self-images based on what they think they're supposed to be sexually and whether they have no one else to be a support group, they think, about, you know, going out looking like they're on the street.
You mean it lowers their self-esteem because they think, I don't look as flat-out sexual as that, or something else?
Yeah, well, I think that's part of it. A lot of it is that the very sexual styles that the young girls are wearing these days are very unflattering, except to those girls with a perfect body. And, of course, no teenager thinks she has a perfect body, even if we do. And they've set up expectations that are way beyond what these girls can manage. There actually is a good study out of the University of Texas, another one out of Michigan, to say that the girls who most try and follow these standards have literally lower GPAs, lower self-esteem, that there is an impact on these kids. Even if they look pretty brash and put out a lot of bravado and we see them all wearing these sexy styles and we think they're all tough, but they're not. They're the same kids they were, right, all dressed up like tarts.
But if this is the expectation that they feel bad about themselves because they're falling short on, and the model put out there is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of quasi-porn star. I mean, is that really the expectation? You know, is that the goal? We went out there, they're feeling sorry because they fall short on that. How about falling short of being a Nobel Prize winner yet?
Well, we don't give them those images. They're not wearing Einstein shirts, you know. They're wearing things that show their midriff, and they're wearing thong undies, and they're trying to be 21-year-olds when they're 14, and it's hard to pull off, and I think it's dangerous to pull off. I think we've pushed this so far that, you know, I'm surprised there's not more parent movement to fight back, because these girls are putting out signals that they don't understand to. And these pictures are saying, hey, you know, be all over the high school star, because, you know, that's mm-hmm. where the action is. That's where the prestige is. And look at, you know, Glee isn't the only place putting out these images. So. I wish they were. But because they're part of a larger thing that we should look at, I think it is important to discuss it and say, can't we have one show about the trials and tribulations of high school and the triumphs of rising above it that doesn't take the stars and turn them into Britney Spears look-alike?
And what about
that went.
Yeah, we do. What about for the boys? We've just got a minute here before the break, Pepper. But what about for boys when, you know, these photos are all over Facebook now? If they have any interest whatsoever, and they are teenage boys, you know, this is going to be in front of them as well. What's it mean for them?
Well, it's their dearest fantasy, of course. But they don't measure up to the star. I suppose that's why they didn't have him stripped down in his underwear. It would be even more intimidating. But they, you know, they say that that's what's supposed to happen. I'm supposed to be adored by gorgeous, sexy women. And for some of them, it's just, you know, fantasy material. But for others, it's a sense of giving them a model of sexuality and the centrality of who they should be to girls that doesn't fit with their everyday life.
Kim Morgan, borders on pedophilia is the critique from Parents Television Council. What do you think? Kim, are you there?
Yes.
Manitoba, bordering on pedophilia? What do you think of that?
I don't think pedophilia would suggest that. I mean, for one thing, the women posing are, I understand they're trying to look like high school students, but, you know, they're 24 and 28, so it's not pedophilia. I see it's bordering, yes. I can see that they're saying that because it's suggesting a fantasy, a sort of high school girl fantasy that has been out there for a long time.
Yeah. Well, Kim, hold the thought. We'll come back and look at that. Here's the Glee cast singing Britney Spears' Toxic in a recent episode. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Glee, but Gone Wild, the female leads of the high school music show, TV sensation, posing almost soft porn style for a men's magazine, and the uproar over sexualized images of teen life in America. Kim Morgan is with us, film and culture critic. Her blog is Sunset Gun. Pepper Schwartz is here, professor of sociology at the University of Washington in Seattle, where she teaches one of the school's most popular courses on the sociology of sexuality. Pepper Schwartz, as you say, I mean, this ship in some sense sailed a long time ago, but it just keeps rolling and it just seems to get younger. The Parents Television Council critique here is that this is not simply at this point about, you know, depictions or encouragement of young people in very suggestive sexual poses, but they pull out the borders on pedophilia accusation here as well. So, you know, put this in the magazine and you're sort of encouraging something like adult predation. Now, Kim says, hey, that's hardly a new fantasy. But then we have this weirdness where you've got grown-up actresses, but they're playing high school characters on TV, Pepper.
Right. And it's their characters. We identify with them. You know, I think it's ingenuous for them to say, well, gee, I'm older than I look on that show. No, it's who they are in that show that we follow and that the kids, you know, do some iconography about that these are these great characters that they believe in. They don't follow them just as independent actors. And I think these pictures were particularly offensive because of that. The whole idea of pink heels and athletic socks and then, you know, basically no panties at all. And the kind of, I mean, it is soft porn. I mean, I won't even go to more of the description mm-hmm. of the pictures. Mm-hmm. And the idea being that, what are we saying about 14 and 15 and 16-year-olds to the gaze of an adult male audience. After all, this isn't GQ. It's saying, here's what's okay to look at. Here's what's okay to think is sexual. These girls go back, put on the fashions, broadcast them out there. They don't realize the impact they're having on the 30-year-old male who's now been told is just fine by GQ.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for one thing, the show itself, I don't know if you saw the Britney Spears episode of Glee. It was a pretty sexual episode.
It was all plaid skirts knotted up blouses and.
I mean, they're not only are they performing the Britney Spears songs in a very highly provocative manner, and how else are you going to perform them? It's Britney Spears who did it 10 years ago as nearly jailbait when she did her video, which was huge and all over the place. But they're also going under. They're in a dental chair. Having a very attractive older dentist played by John Stamos putting them under, and they go into as he's drilling cavities, and then going into these fantasies of being sexy Britney Spears. I mean, when I watched that episode, I thought that would be something that would raise a red flag with people watching the show more so than the photographs, because the photographs, yes, they're playing, they're riffing on their characters. These are actresses. These are their own women. If they want to pose like that, they should have every right to. They are their own people. They are 24 and 28-year-old women.
Both 24, I believe. But anyway, yeah. Well,
these are not people. These are actresses. If an actress is a role model, that's a problem. Then maybe their parents should insert different role models for their children. I realize it's hard to control that because it's all over the place. I think one of the problems was if these got picked up by the Internet and everyone moralizes on them, while placing the photograph next to their moralizing screed, and then everyone can see it. Because, let's face it, kids are not going to pick up a GQ, okay? They don't look at magazines anymore. They look at the Internet. Probably the safest place to put dirty photographs are a magazine or a book.
Yeah, these days, you're probably right. They're going to travel the least that way. But what about it, Pepper? These are not role models. These are actresses. They're in their 20s. They're all grown up. Get over it.
Does anybody think that Britney Spears and her antics hasn't influenced a generation of girls? Of course they have. They don't separate, really, the actress and the role. And so when you're dealing in Disney movies, it's different, you know, than if you're doing some other kind of career. What I want to say, though, just to take this conversation a slightly different place, I don't deny that these teenagers in reality are sexual and that they have burgeoning sexual urges and interests. And
of course.
The show takes due note of that and deals with it. I didn't see the Britney Spears episode. I think I would have, you know, kind of lost my cookies over that. But the idea is that not that I'm anti-sexual for teenagers, but they're developing within their teenage context. And that's what the show is good about. You know, the same-sex attractions, the things that go too far and have difficult consequences. They take you back to the angst as well as joy of teenagehood. But it's in that culture. This takes the teenager out and says to the male gaze, want a piece of that? You know, and that's not so okay.
Let's go to
Why can't people discuss that with their kids, though? I don't like the use of these words like tart or streetwalker or want a piece of that. I mean, there's ways to discuss that with your children. I mean, just because a woman dresses sexually doesn't mean she's a tart.
There are ways that streetwalkers use to attract people, and they try and be very far out there so you know what their profession is, and you'll stop in the corner. There's a look to it. And I don't think that's the way I would talk to my kids about it, but that's the way we can talk to the audience about it.
Kim, Pepper, let's take it to our listeners. Salt Lake City, Utah. Judy, you're on the air, Judy.
Yeah, I agree with your psychologist there on every level, and the terminology that she is using to describe these images, tart and such, are exactly it. They are very profound. And for anybody to think that those actors and actresses on every level in the media film or the motion picture film or the television world are not influences on our children or society are living in la-la land, because they absolutely are. And the thing that disturbs me is, in the first season, they portray this as a family-oriented movie that you can sit down and watch it with your children, people that are trying to teach their children good moral values, because as a society, as a whole, it has to be what's good for a whole, a group. Ted Bundy is a perfect example of such things. He talked about the porno and the soft porn and everything that took him down the road in murdering our children. So if somebody is saying that this has no effect on our children, they are out to lunch.
Judy, we've got it, and I appreciate your call. Let me get one more right here from Boston. Pat, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Two brief points. First, I think, I've been teaching tweens and teenagers in eastern Massachusetts for quite a while now.
Okay.
There is this deterioration between action and consequences, even more so than I think there was when I was an adolescent. I had a situation where I was confronted with a sixth grade girl who was having really explicit stuff on Second Life as a character.
Okay.
And I think this feeds into it. And the second point specific to these photos is I think it, for both boys and girls, because I think the male photo speaks to this as well, as a culture, we're not teaching any movement that's either, all of the movement that these kids are learning is either very sexualized or, in the case of sports, pretty violent. There's no healthy sense, or there's less of a healthy sense of how to move.
Maybe even how to be. Pat, we've got that as well. Let me get one more here. Ann Arbor, Michigan. Deirdre, you're on the air.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say that for anyone who's using television as a modem for teaching values to their children or wholesome family entertainment, they might want to, explore some other options. I can't imagine that a family would sit down in front of their television and do that with the intention of teaching values.
Well, there was a time. It's a long time ago now, but there was kind of a time.
I think there are two points that it's important to separate. One is, and I agree wholeheartedly with what Pepper says about the over-sexualization of girls impacting our children's self-esteem. I don't disagree with that at all. As a mother of one grown young woman and mm-hmm. two adolescent young women, I absolutely agree. But I think the point about this particular story that's important to remember is, as was mentioned, these are actors who are portraying a character on television, and to expect them to adopt the characteristics of the character that they play on television in their real life is a little absurd in my mind. In that case, you would expect them to not have a drink with dinner when they go out, even though they're, of legal drinking age. To expect these people to go out and live their lives in such a way that reflects upon a character that they play is unrealistic and, I think, unfair to act.
Dude, I get it. On the other hand, they're capitalizing on that character, taking off her clothes. I mean, they are dressed or undressed as high school teens in these GQ photographs.
And again, that photo shoot was not intended for the same audience that watches the television show.
Yeah.
Watch the television show. I had to go out and look at the pictures after my husband brought it up after, hearing it on the internet. But again, it was a different audience, intended for the photo shoot than there was for the
for right. The I mean, that's an interesting point in itself. Different audience intended, perhaps, but these days the internet puts everything everywhere. Pepper Schwartz, Kim Morgan, standby. I want to welcome into our conversation right here Maria Luisa Tucker. She's co-editor of the New Youth Connections. It's a magazine written by New York City public high school students, distributed to high schools, libraries, community organizations. She works a lot with 16, 17, 18-year-old high school students, mostly girls. Maria Luisa Tucker, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You read a lot of what high school students this age write. What are you seeing and hearing from them on this front of sexuality and sexualization? Are they comfortable with it? Uncomfortable? In a good place? Not?
I think they're, at least for the girls, they're pretty uncomfortable with it. I showed the GQ cover and some of the photos to four of the girls I work with yesterday, and they were annoyed by it, and then the conversation turned into, which is a common conversation with us, it turned into how much they get harassed on the street. And I think, they're getting harassed not just by boys, but by men, the men who are the readers of GQ, grown men. I had one girl tell me that she literally runs home from school because she gets so harassed on the street. And these are girls who are not dressing provocatively, but they understand, they see the link between what's out there, like teenage girls completely sexualized by the media, and how adult men are looking at them. So I think there's a real problem, both of having the audience of adult men seeing teen girls like this and, you know, teenagers themselves having this expectation that they're supposed to be so sexy when they're just developing their ideas of sexuality. They're not, you know, it's too much for them.
And do you think that that degree of sexualization in the eyes of older, in this case, men, is changed or changing? Is it, I mean, there's always been wolf whistling going on, for better or worse. Guys have always said stuff, but is there a different dynamic here or a different range of acceptability?
I mean, I think it's hard to tell, but I would say there's a lot more pressure on teen girls to sort of think that it's acceptable. I mean, one of the things that the teens I work with have written about is the phenomenon of sexting, you know, where girls are asked to send nude photos of themselves to boys. And sometimes that's in the context of a relationship, but often that's just in the context of flirting, like boys trying to get these girls to send them nude photos as a way to, you know, start up a relationship or just to collect them on their phone. So I think, you know, whether they may have been whistled at or commented on, you know, 20 or 30 years ago or not, like the pressure now is for them to accept it and to act on it more.
Let's go to Barbie in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Barbie, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty well. What do you see?
I see my 17-year-old daughter having great self-esteem, and I think it's because of me and my husband. I don't see her friends being influenced by television. These kids grew up on television. They know the difference between reality and fiction. So, you know, I think that her ideas about her own body and, you know, the girls that she hangs out with, they are really, to me, empowered young women. I think we're not giving the teens enough credit. I think if their mothers and fathers have taken care of them and distinguished the difference between, you know, reality and television, then it's all good. You're welcome.
Hey, Barbie, I appreciate your call. Kim Morgan, is this your song? They're empowered, they're inured, they're impervious?
I think that we're not giving enough credit to teenagers. I mean, I understand protecting them from these things. I understand that the Internet has changed sexuality immensely. I mean, if we look back at sexuality, especially sexualized images, you can see it in Anne Margaret and Bye Bye Birdie. You can see it in Annette Funicello in the Beach movies. You can see it in Young Tuesday Weld and Lord Love a Duck. There were always sexualized teenagers, very attractive. Even jokes that were made with older men, you know, coming onto them. Mm-hmm. Brooke Shields is a great example from, you know, the 70s and 80s. It's always been out there. Now, whether or not you agree with that or you find that acceptable, that's up for debate. But it has always been out there. And women, young women, teenagers, have always had to deal with the type of thing of walking outside and dealing with men. I had to deal with men. I'm sure all the other women had to deal with men when you were a teenage girl. It was there. Now, the idea that you can act on it so quickly, I do think that that's really what's changed. You can get on text message someone. You can go on your Facebook. You can go on Twitter. And so it is a little bit easier for people to be indulge a fantasy, perhaps. And those are the things we need to be looking out for. And unfortunately, we live in an age where we have to look out for that. We can't change it. That's what's happened.
Maria Luisa Tucker.
Back to Beaver Cleaver.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. Do you see young women, Maria Luisa, who feel empowered, sort of, you know, above it? Yes, there's all this pop culture, but, you know, I'm inured to it. I've lived in it. It's not a problem for me.
Well, I mean, I don't think that we can talk about teenagers as one sort of monolith of kids who all react in the same way. I mean, I think, you know, one of the callers who said she's a parent and she's a role model, I think kids who do happen to have parents that talk about this stuff and can be good role models are going to be less affected. But I also think, you know, with a 14, 15, 16-year-old girl, they're just discovering, like, what kind of power they have over men. And instead of, you know, they're seeing all these images. This is what it means to be sexy. But when trying to look attractive, if they're casting this wide net, if they're, you know, dressing that scantily, they're not just getting the attention of the boy they like. Mm. They're getting the attention of every man on the street that has permission to look at them like that,
Maria,
because
hold
of these media images.
Yeah, hold the thought there, if you would. Here's Katy Perry, Teenage Dream, kind of putting it out there. Pepper Schwartz, Kim Morgan, please stand by. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about Glee Gone Wild, or maybe that the accusation thereof. A new photo spread in GQ. Men's Magazine has a couple of the female leads from Glee. Of course, it's about a high school setting, and these are not high school actresses. They're 24 each, I think, posing in their undies in kind of a high school settings, lockers and locker rooms. And it's got just people scratching their heads again about the sexualization of the teen image, the teen experience in this country, and where that takes our sons and daughters. Kim Morgan is with us. Her blog is Sunset Gun. Film and culture critic looks right across the entertainment and popular culture scene. Pepper Schwartz is with us from the University of Washington, professor of sociology, looks at the sociology of sexuality there. And Maria Luisa Tucker is with us, co-editor of New Youth Connections. It's a magazine written by New York City public high school students for and about each other, about their lives and experience. Glee is not all Pollyanna, as we said. Here's a little bit from season one, dealt with some serious issues. Here's episode four called Preggers. Head cheerleader Quinn tells her boyfriend Finn she's pregnant with their child.
Quinn. Quinn. Hey, what's with the silent treatment?
Whatever I did, I'm sorry.
I'm pregnant.
What?
Yes, you. Who else would it be?
But we never...
Last month. Hot tub.
But we were wearing our swimsuits.
As Jude said, a hot tub is the perfect temperature for sperm. It helps it swim faster.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Are you going to get it?
No. I really thought I had a shot of getting out of here.
Glee getting a little grown up right there in season one. Now we've got actresses in their skivvies and off the set and into the popular culture in another kind of setting. Lots of feedback here online. Stacy says the only point I'll give to those who take umbrage with these photos is that they is the move to an 8 o'clock time slot that is on Fox for Glee. While profitable, is probably ill advised. She writes, beyond this, it's a non-issue. Anyone who's watched this show from its inception knows that this is not for children. It's been a racy satire of high school drama and musicals since day one. Here's another web comment. Says, in this audience are those of us who have undergone the utterly unspeakable heartbreak of learning that our child was sexually abused in our situation by a family friend, professional man for many years. A major sector of American commercial culture is sick. Unfortunately, it's the children who catch the sickness, many becoming ill in ways that take decades to work out. Then Michael says on Facebook, you know, everybody in America knows that sex sells everything from toothpaste to cars. Let's move on. Evan in Brookline, Massachusetts. Evan, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I was just calling to make two points. And the first was that, you know, I listened to the interview with the writer of Glee, the writer and creator with Terry Gross on NPR.
It's Ryan Murphy,
Directly about the point that he was writing adult themes using, you know, high school students as, like, a muse to get across adult themes. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, as a venue to bring musical theater to the forefront. So I don't really see that, you know, I mean, this isn't High School Musical. This is, you know, adult content, and it was supposed to be from the outset.
Let us pick it up. Pepper, it's not High School Musical. The Disney show, of course, that one came under criticism, too. They came out with a whole line of products off High School Musical, including underwear with the words "dive in" on them. So, yeah. But what adult themes? Just bringing musicals back to the people. You know, get off my back. Essentially, the creator is saying there. What do you say, Pepper?
Well, there's a bigger thing at stake than High School Musical or Glee. I think Glee does have a lot of important themes in it, and yes, anybody who watches it knows that it's not really for your 10-year-old, but the statistics are this: about 40% of kids 15 to 16 have had intercourse. When you take a look at what their reactions were, the guys were relief and the girls were regret. we have a situation where kids are being sexual early, earlier than their emotional development and their ability to navigate who they're having sex with. If there are things in Glee that help parents and their teenage children think about these things, I think those are teachable moments. I think that's okay. That's different, handling these subjects seriously, than showing the kid, these young people, these 24-year-olds, playing their high school parts in soft porn ways. I think that you can talk about sexuality seriously, or you can talk about it playfully. But when you do it pornographically and you use high school kids as the excitement for it, or portrayal of them as high school kids, then we're putting our kids in a bind. We're putting the families at risk. And these things do penetrate the general culture. Anybody who's ever gone to try and find clothes for a teenage girl that would be moderate finds himself in a sea of lack of choices. So, yes, there may be different cultural and artistic reasons for what they do with the show, but it has waves of outcomes that if you're watching the show and talking about it maybe with your teenager, you can deal with. But these images that flood from the media to the general teenage public, many of whom do not have close relationships with their family, do not have good advisors, don't have a great place to talk about this with, maybe that's where we need to repair, getting to these kids and helping them.
Maria, you've said it may be porno culture crossing into mainstream culture. Do you see evidence of that?
Definitely, yeah. And I think it's porn culture crossing into fashion, which is a problem specifically for the girls. There are now like high heels designed for infants and 5-year-olds. And to me, like high heels are shoes meant to help you stick out your chest and your butt to look sexy, to make your legs look long. And they're being marketed to children. And the shoes specifically in the GQ cover, those, you know, very tall 3 or 4 inch heels, those used to be considered stripper shoes, but those are now just part of high fashion. And, you know, some of the girls I work with were saying the same thing. We're going out trying to find shorts, and the only shorts available are these, like, tiny, tiny things that barely cover our butts.
I mean, where are you coming at this from, Marie? I mean, are you very conservative sexually or politically, or I have no idea.
No, I mean, I grew up looking at teen magazines as, like, the mainstream sort of culture, and I think that this has been a problem for a really long time. I don't think that I'm particularly conservative. I just think that it's really difficult to be a girl in a world that sexualizes you so young and you don't know what to do with it. And I think, you know, we have this image of these hypersexed teens, but the statistic is it's something like 60% of teens aren't having sex. So I don't know where this image of these, you know, teenage girls that are supposed to look like prostitutes or something is coming from. It's men's gaze. It's men doing this to girls. I doubt these actresses came to the photo shoot and were like, I would like to take off my clothes and pose in my panties. Can I please do that? I think it was the photo shoot that they asked them to do this, right?
Well, I mean, it's for GQ magazine, so it wouldn't be that surprising, I suppose. And yet, Leah in Burlington, Vermont. Leah, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, I'm 24 years old, and I'd like to kind of point to this culture because I don't think this sexualized, hyper porn based teen culture is new. This isn't new, guys. This has been here. When I was coming of age, you know, 10 years ago as a sexual preteen, I didn't know anybody that lost their virginity before the age of 16, 15. This isn't new. This is the expectation. This is the norm in high school culture. And I think we need to, somebody needs to, like, say something, because I feel like we've got a bunch of folks, you know, talking about this culture that I feel you're a little out of touch.
Leah, I think the point is not that it's new. As people were saying, it goes back to Brooke Shields and maybe in years ago. But even when something becomes pervasive, it may be even worthwhile to talk about it. I mean, do you see it as a problem or just, hey, it's the new baseline and it's fine, young people deal with it and move on?
No, I don't think it's, I do think it's problematic. I just think that talking about this as saying, has porn culture you know, moved into high school culture, this has been normal ever since. I can only speak to my own experience, but it's been normal for at least 10 years. The expectation of high school youth and of college age youth is really that you are, for women, you are this hypersexualized being. Your worth and your social relevance is based on how much you can portray yourself to be that hypersexualized being. I think teenage girls are going to look at those photos and eat them up, and that's unfortunate.
Leah, I really appreciate your call. Kim Morgan, how do you look at that? Is that just the way it is? Is that A-OK? And even if it is pervasive, should we be wondering about it, thinking about it?
Well, of course we should be thinking about it, but I agree with her that she's right. It's been around for a long time. And if you remember, there's this thing called Girls Gone Wild, which is much more troublesome than this photo shoot. But at the same time, these are images that have been out there for before 10 years ago. And it doesn't... I'm having a problem with it, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling to come to terms with this because I think... You know, there's a part of me, a large part of me, that feels that people are overreacting to the point where it's, you know, I'm not sure what they want to do. Do they want to police these actresses mm-hmm. from expressing themselves? And I don't think that they went out to that photo shoot and thought, you know, took their shirt off nervously. You know, I don't right. believe that. Mm-hmm. 28 years old, 24 year old, they're actresses. They do provocative things on the show.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they're starts. That I don't like these words of streetwalkers again and of women that dress provocatively as being sluts or something, and also judging women for their sexuality. I mean, that's also saying that it's wrong for women to be sexual. I mean,
oh, that's so overdoing it.
Use the wording like that to say that these girls look like streetwalkers. I mean, I don't know if you've seen a streetwalker. They're actually very sad-looking people. They're not. They don't look like that. That's a fantasy right there.
Pepper, generally. What do you say?
I
think she's willfully misunderstanding what I said. I celebrate women's sexuality. I think every woman has the right to develop it and to be a sexual person. What we'd like them to do is to do it under their own developmental
pace. What we would like them to do? Who's we?
Yeah, I think parents. People
okay,
who have 15, 16
women.
Yeah, but I don't think...
No, we're not talking about them.
Right,
we're
it's really the blowback or the influence on the, you know, younger people who they're depicting here, if only in a kind of a men's magazine send-up. But Pepper, what about the notion that Leah brought up, our caller? She's 24 years old, and she says, hey, you know, this has been around for at least 10 years, and not just a little bit, but heavily. I mean, you know, what does it mean? If this is a new normal that's emerged over an extended period of time, does that mean we just... it's just the way it is, and so good luck, America. Grow up in it and live long and prosper. Should we be trying to recalibrate? Is there a way to recalibrate in the media age we're in now?
Well, it is the new normal, but it doesn't have to be unattended to so that we don't talk to these young women and say, here's your rights of refusal, of appearance, of desire, of picking a partner, picking your time. We need to be in conversation with these young women. It's not yes or no. It's not that we're going back to the 50s. They're dead. And she's right. It is the new normal. But the fact is we can have these girls have their sexuality in a way that is they're more knowledgeable about. They pursue their feelings more. They feel they have more choices. And even that in clothing or the way that that they interact in their own environment. So no one's saying that women shouldn't own their sexuality and that girls won't be sexual. But they should protest, and they can protest about being seen as playthings. And look at the poses were not of even 16-year-old girls. Some of the poses were of 10-year-old girls sucking lollipops. I mean, what's that supposed to mean? I think this new movement, this thing called Spark Movement, it's not mine, but it's been Deborah Tolman and some people in New York City have been organizing it, where they're getting the girls themselves to talk and to write and to be part of a peer movement that says, yeah, let's develop our sexuality in a more open and discursive way with each other so that we're not sort of victims of the culture of fashion of photographers. But, you know, we can think about our lives and how they should be, and so that sex does not have punitive consequences, but it's a positive experience done at the right time for the individual girl.
Maria, are the girls you're working with, are they figuring it out? Have they figured it out how to be, you know, empowered, self-assured, you know, enjoying life, and at the same time, part of this culture that can be awfully racy all over? Are they getting a handle on it?
I think it's very few 16 and 17-year-olds have figured that out. No, I mean, I think, you know, they look at it, and a lot of the girls sensibly think, okay, well, that's what's put out there. I'm not going to look like that. I know what kind of attention that's going to get me, and I don't want that kind of attention. And, you know, they're thinking, I think a lot of the girls that I work with would love to see some more images and discussion about healthy sexuality, where it's not just about looking good for the boys and the men, but it's about what they want and what their desires are and how to work out that sort of stuff. Because I don't know. I mean, I don't think it takes a long time to figure all that stuff out. Certainly no 16-year-old has figured out what to make of all of it. No.
Do you think that developing an intellect would be the helpful thing for children, for young women? You know, for instance, rather than constantly talking about how we're to perceive sexuality, something that's actually, it's either very blatant and obvious or mysterious, and giving them things, giving them female role models, or just handing them a book by maybe one of the Brontes and having them read Jane Eyre, or showing them a documentary about Jane Goodall, these wonderful women that are intelligent, that have nothing to do with sexuality. Well, the Brontes do, but, you know, it's not... Everything is always talked about sex to the point where I feel like that's what everyone's focusing on, whether they're moralizing on it or they're celebrating it. Why not talk about something else?
All right, Kim, we'll do it. Out with GQ, in with the Brontes and Jane Goodall for a while anyway. I'm really grateful to each of you for all your insights here. Kim Morgan, the blog is Sunset Gun, joining us from Gimli in Canada. Thank you, Kim, for being with us today.
Thank you.
Pepper Schwartz at the University of Washington, thank you so much for being with us, Pepper.
Thank you, Tom.
And Maria Luisa Tucker in New York City at New York New Youth Connections. Maria, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll go out with Glee, singing Time Warp from Rocky Horror, tonight's episode. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.